Friday morning. Memorial Day weekend is upon us. Thank you for joining us for another Dolphins Collective. We got a bunch of things to talk about today, but first, real quick, we got to shout out the sponsors, Prize Picks. We will talk about them a little bit later, but use that promo code HMA. You play $5, you get $50 instantly in your daily fantasy lineup. Plus, SeatGeek, baby. SeatGeek. Let's see what Past Doug has to say about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. I love using SeatGeek. I use it constantly. The app is fantastic. 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticket app. More than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, more. You got the MLB happening right now, NBA, NHL playoffs. I am actually on June 11th going to see a Mets game, bringing my daughter for the first time to a Mets game. Yes, I know. I'm going to torture her. But I got my tickets through SeatGeek. Super fun, super easy to use. And this week, the NFL schedule is being released, so you can go ahead and grab your Dolphin tickets early. Super, super, super early. Tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after the purchase. I literally bought the Mets tickets, and less than 24 hours later, boom, they were in my account. So be sure to use the promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. Again, 10% off any tickets, festivals, concerts, games, using that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Again, thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring the Dolphin Collective.
Go get yourself some tickets. Use that promo code. Got a lot of stuff going on that you can go. Doesn't just have to be football games. So, we are going to be talking a lot. So, let's jump into it.
We're talking a lot.
Oh, really? We're going to be talking a lot? I don't know if we've ever done that.
Not you, Omar.
Some of us talk a little bit more than the others, but I'm not going to point out.
Y'all are going to have to ask me to add in. I've talked for 4 hours this morning. I don't want to talk no more.
I'll give it 10 minutes before you do one of your.
So Omar came up with a very, very good starting topic. Essentially, we're going to be picking three players that, if they have a good season, the team is going to be good. And did I get that right? Is that kind of what we're going to be doing?
Good meaning. Let's define good as a winning season.
Okay. And playing good as in like
possible, Poupard. It's possible.
That's right.
Anything's possible.
That's right. Impossible ain't impossible at all.
And playing good as in like top 15 at their position or?
Interesting. You say that. Okay. Let's go with that. Top 15 at their position.
Yeah. Because top 10 is like real good. If you're just good, I'd say like top 15.
How many top 10 players have we had at their position over the past couple of years? Xavier Howard, Tyreek Hill.
Rasul Douglas was top 10 last year.
Tua was top 10 for like 2 years. Watch your mouth. Number one passer rating, number one yards thrown for, number one in completion percentage.
I'll give you 20.
Three straight years of 100 passer rating or more. Better.
2023, I'd put him in top 10. Outside of that, I don't know about that.
Teron was top 10 when he was healthy.
Teron, okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Brewer.
Aaron Brewer last year.
H.N.
How many years did you say?
Last 6 years.
Jalen Ramsey.
Raheem Mostert. Alec Ingold.
Seven quarterbacks in the entire NFL. It's not difficult to be top 10.
Am I wrong?
You're right.
But it doesn't matter. He was number one. Yeah, Jason Sanders.
Defensive players. Was Christian Wilkins ever top 10?
Javon Hollins earlier.
Hell no. Don't do that.
He had a top
10. Javon was a top 10 in crap.
No, it was like Javon was like top 15 maybe at some point, but not top 10. No.
Mike Gesicki.
Who? In what year? What decade?
His last year here. You said 6 years.
I think John Wynn production was top 10.
Sealer.
Sealer was never top 10.
Yeah, why
would you? If he had double digits.
We sure about that?
Yeah, we sure.
Really?
I mean, I don't know. He's a touch of sacks 1 year.
What year? What year are we putting it?
24. It was really good in 24.
Yeah.
It's really good in 24.
Maybe. You got to see the field.
But anyway. We
digress.
So, three players. Can I give you four?
Sure. Five. I'll give you five.
Cheating.
I'm going to give you four. Because we started with three, but there's two at one position that I think will definitely help the team. Obviously, Malik for me. Malik Willis. That's a given. I have Sealer. I have Chop.
Sealer?
Sealer and Chop. You got to get that pass rush going. I want to put an offensive lineman on there. But to me, I need the defense a little bit more. Give me Chris Jones.
Johnson. I'll take Chris Jones. Thank you.
You want him and think he could be top. I don't think
I'm just thinking who would help the team win. At what position, in my opinion, would help the team win. All and right. I think having a very good pass rush, good quarterback play, and good secondary play would help us win. And those are the four that I came up with. It's a hard question because there's a lot. Like, I want to throw offensive line in there, but I'm like, if Malik is playing top 15, then maybe he can navigate around a not so great offensive line. So,
yeah.
All right. Omar, you were up, my good sir.
I'm definitely going to start with Chop Robinson. I think I understand and believe who he's going to be as a pass rusher. I don't think he's going to be bad as a pass rusher. I actually think he's going to be quite good. Relentless pressure. Can he finish? That's a whole totally different ball game. But I can see him talent-wise being a double-digit sack guy. But if he can't set the edge, you're not going to be on the field. And you're not going to have a good defense.
But wait, there's a video of Jeff Hafley saying, good job setting the edge yesterday. That means the problem is solved.
Yeah, you noticed that. Whatchamacallit? Austin Clark. Remember, Austin Clark told you the secret to Chop Robinson was having eye discipline?
Better eyes. Having better eyes.
And that, like, I love Austin. But
we all love him.
He's got to be more disciplined in his eyes. Like, eyes are not going to prevent the offensive tackle from driving you 7 yards off the ball.
The point that Clark was making is that Chop is too focused on watching the ball in the backfield at the snap instead of focusing on the guy who's right ahead, right in front of him. And
I think it's an issue of strength wise of holding his point, not his eye discipline.
I don't disagree with you.
But we shall see who can coach and who cannot coach in that regard. My second guy is Austin Clark. Austin Jackson. Mm. Yes, you got Caden Proctor that you could stick out there at right tackle. Austin Jackson, I'm actually just looking that up. Got shaken down this offseason. Took a significant, substantial pay cut. Is basically making $5.5 million if he achieves all of his incentives. But he's also in the final year of his deal. Perform well this year. You shall continue to be handsomely rewarded with good compensation, and you can go on and be a good starter wherever else you want to go. Not stay healthy, and you're going to be a minimum salary guy for probably the rest of your career and an NFL journeyman. Big year for Austin Jackson, and I do believe Austin can play. Problem is, he has played 32 of 68 possible games the last 4 years. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no math major, but that's less than 50%.
And what's going on with him right now?
We don't know. They're not going to tell you. You might as well go mining for gold in Miami Ocean instead of trying to figure out what injuries are in the NFL offseason. That's just, they're not going to tell you.
If it was very significant, like there's a couple of guys from the Giants, not one but two, who have torn Achilles from OTAs. If it was something very significant, he wouldn't have been out there at all Tuesday, and we saw him. So I don't think it's anything.
And I also would make this point with Austin Jackson. He's like Devon Achane. Do I need to see him before the regular season?
No.
You need to see him string practices together to prove that he can stay on the field and not get hurt.
I might put him on the Teron program. Just think about it.
Spoiler alert, he's not Teron.
He's not Teron, but,
yeah, but
I got to
just – he is.
I got to just get him to the field. Help him.
Yeah.
And yes. He's not Teron, but, I mean, I got to get him to the field healthy. And I can honestly tell you, I don't see the – downside to having Proctor work at right tackle all of training camp, all of regular season. I mean, all the training camp, all of all season program, all of mini camp, and then say, hey, go play left guard now.
Whoa.
No?
To me, you're taking a chance on messing up with his
chemistry.
Chemistry, continuity, and working at the same spot. He's a rook. To me, you do that maybe with a veteran. And my thing about, no disrespect to Austin Jackson, but Teron Armstead was like a multiple Pro Bowl player who's a complete stud when in the lineup, and you know that. Austin Jackson, while a solid veteran, to me, is not somebody like, put him in Teflon. We don't need to see him because he's such a proven commodity and all that. It's not like his game camp can't take a step up. I mean, he's solid, but it's not, again, some potential Pro Bowl player.
But okay. I don't think they're banking on his game to take a step up. I think they're just banking on, can we get you out there healthy for as many games as we can? Therefore, why am I going to put you out there at training camp when you're going to go at risk of injuring yourself?
Somebody like, can step on your foot. Oh,
you know. Well, I mean, I am. You guys are like pissing me
off. Because
again, with all due respect, again, Austin Jackson, nice, solid starter, not a star. He's going to be working. If he winds up in the starting lineup at right tackle, which we all expect he will, he's going to be working next to Jonah. You don't think Jonah needs the reps with the guys going to be working on the side after
Austin Jackson ain't helping Jonah.
If he's not, then get him out of the lineup. Jonah needs help. Sorry.
Okay. Allie, how many games do you have Austin Jackson playing this year? Your line.
14.
Ooh. 14, that's a high number. I'll take that.
If your number is less than that, get him the hell out of the lineup. Make him a backup. Move Caden Proctor to right tackle. This is if that's what you're thinking. This
what about
is
12? Good. What about 12?
What about 12?
Man, I'm at 9.
Get him out of the lineup. Put Caden Proctor right tackle. Let's start him on his career right away.
I'm with you. I would put Caden Proctor right tackle, and Austin Jackson would be competing for a guard spot, but. That's
or make him your backup swing tackle. I mean, one of the two.
Yeah, I mean.
It's crazy to me that this notion of, like, we have to protect Austin Jackson at all costs. And I say that I like Austin. He's a really good guy. And he's a solid starter. But he's not the wrong.
I don't think we're looking at it as if we have to protect him at all costs. I think we're trying to get as much out of him as we can. And if you got 12 games, you play him in preseason, that 12 probably go down to 9.
Agreed.
Then why are you relying on him? Then why are you here?
You already paid him. He's here, Alan.
Yeah, didn't they shake him down already?
That reeks of the old regime, by the way. That reeks of the old regime.
I mean, it's the truth.
It's what the new regime inherited, so they have to let it play out.
No, they don't.
And they've already shown you they're not afraid of making the difficult decisions. So in that case, again, get Caden
Proctor.
But he
could help the
O-line.
He could help the O-line.
He can.
Jackson for more than 10 games.
I mean, my number is like 12 on over-under. But anyway, my point is, if he has a good season, I think you're going to have a good run game. I think you're going to be able to protect Malik Willis. If he doesn't, we're going to find a new starting left guard because K Caden Proctor is going to be playing right tackle. Mm. And I don't know what that's going to look like, because right now we got Jonah over there at right guard. I don't know what that's going to look like. And my final person that I believe has to have a good season is Juju Brents. I know most fans are like, huh? Or who? I could tell you, my eyes tell me Juju Brents can play. He can play. He can't stay healthy, but he can play. And he's another player that I'm on the keep him healthy program. I know he's not going to be a star, but I think he can be a star if he can actually be healthy. If he can stay healthy, this guy could be a top 15 cornerback in the league. The talent, his ability is there. He's got good recovery speed. He's got good size. He could press well. He could play zone. We've seen him go into the nickel. I'm like, what can this guy not do except for stay healthy? Which, you know, we know that's
all part of the equation.
Yeah, major part of the equation.
Details, details, details.
All right, Alan, who's your guys?
Well, based on the way the question was phrased, because at one point we veered into which players need to be top 15. Well, in that case, it's going to be Malik Willis, it's going to be Devon Achan, and it's going to be who else? Jordan Brooks. But we know Chen more than likely. Well, the Achan and Jordan Brooks will be top 15. Malik is a question mark because we don't know because of the sample size. TD, regardless of your level of optimism. So Malik Willis. And so I'm going to eliminate guys that we know we can confidently say are going to be top 15. So Malik Willis definitely would be one. Absolutely, Chop Robinson. If Chop Robinson, by the way, was not great as a pass rusher last year. I know we keep talking about all that potential that he has. He was not great as a pass rusher. And if he doesn't deliver as a pass rusher, where the hell is the pass rush coming from?
Mm-hmm. Uche.
Sure.
I mean,
and you answered.
Where's your coverage coming from? Where's your safety play coming from? Where's your head setting coming from? Where's your wide receivers coming from?
All of the above. And then beyond that, I think I don't know about top 15, but I think, that Chris Johnson doesn't hold up and does not give the Dolphins better than average play at cornerback, then I don't know what you have at cornerback. I'm with you, Omar. I like Juju Brents. I mean, the dude looks like a player, but can we really count on him? So those would be my three: Malik Willis, Chop Robinson, Chris Johnson.
Here's my question about Chris Johnson.
Go ahead.
Played at a small school. What is the common thread when you deal with small school players? In my opinion, their techniques, their fundamentals, completely raw because they were not well coached in most instances. I have watched him now rookie camp. I've watched him now the first OTA session. And cornerback is one of the positions I feel like I know probably the best outside of offensive line. I love offensive line, but I can't talk technicalities of offensive line. You can see based on the way they're coaching him, they are not comfortable with his technique. Like, it's been very apparent to me. And that has me a little bit concerned, just to be completely honest with you. Now, also, and I think me and Pupard might have discussed this, or maybe it was Isaiah, when you look at all the cornerbacks, all of them, just stack them up one next to the other, he's the smallest guy.
Yes, he's smallest.
And I was shocked by that. And now I just hope he can be physical to excel at the nickel, because at this point, I'm not putting him as a starting boundary. I'm putting him as a nickel.
Because your point about like the coaching level, because he played at a smaller school, can I point out it's San Diego State? It's not St. Mumu State. I mean,
who did he play?
No, he didn't play anybody, that's for sure. But again, the Dolphins had a conviction on him. We're going to give him the benefit of the doubt that they got their guy. They knew what they were doing. To me, he doesn't pass the eyeball test at first glance.
He's right. One of the fastest corners in the NFL now. Faster than almost every single great corner in the NFL. He runs a 4.4 flat. The rest of these guys running a 4.42, 4.43, 4.44. Yeah, he's one of the fastest
corners. I don't even consider you fast unless you're in the 4.2, 4.3 range.
Dude, no, like, I'm saying as a corner, though, that's one of the
corners are fast.
Guys who run.
Go compare his speed with the corners in the league. You're going to see that he's topping them. He tops these corners. He tops Sauce Gardner, tops Patrick Surtain. He's faster than all these guys. And that was his intrigue at San Diego, was the fact that he's always with his man. Now, can he make the play at the top of it? That's where he got to show in the NFL. But he's going to typically be with his man if he's not guessing or, you know, jumping routes and stuff like that and getting caught.
But that 4.4 is straight speed. That's all great and fine and dandy, but that's straight speed.
Yeah, I know it's straight speed. I'm comparing it to some of the great corners in the league right now. That helps him.
It'll help him if they run a 40-yard dash. Yeah, that'll come in really handy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, how often is a nickel running a 40-yard dash? This is Halfley's specialty. This is Wheelhouse, and that's his guy.
That is his guy. I mean, he was very adamant about saying that was my dude, and
they took him. He was a second cornerback taken in the draft.
If the Dolphins didn't draft him, how much further do you think until he would have got drafted?
No.
He was probably going to be a first round pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
TD.
Not first round pick or top 50 pick.
TD, who are your guys?
I'm going to cheat like Doug and go with 4. Okay. Number one.
Can't follow the rules.
Number one, man, and I'm going to actually do my homework assignment properly. This is if these guys are top 15, then we can win. Okay. Jonas Savanaya, number one. If he can turn a corner and be a great guard on the right side and be top 15, we'll have a top 10 offensive line in the NFL. At least I believe so. We would have a really good offensive line, which helps Achane and help Malik Willis and everything that they need to do. He's important. Can he turn that corner and be like, Jonah had a good season? People don't understand what that's going to mean for the Dolphins. That is huge.
What is the difference between him and DJ Campbell or what's the guy that Poupard's always talking about?
Shallier. Yeah, if he struggles, you just yank him out of the lineup and they still can have a decent offensive line.
No, we said if he is top 15 this year.
But the point is why him and if he doesn't work?
Because they're going to give him – does he not have the – do they not view him as – your priority, we need to make this work, and if not, we'll.
That's their draft picks.
Yeah, but come on, man. You the investment, isn't he a better prospect?
That's their draft picks.
They want to make it work with him, no question.
Yeah, they want to make it work, but DJ can't. They probably don't even care if it's DJ Campbell or Jonas Savanaya. They're just giving Jonas first crack.
Well, if that's the case, if any one of those three is top 15, how about that? If any guard, one of those three,
guard.
Yeah, the right guard position, forget the player. If the right guard position ends up being top 15, oh my gosh, that alone is so massive for this team overall. In this offense. Number two, obviously Malik Willis. He's on the hot seat. He got to be able to prove something this year that he can elevate his game to new heights and show that he can run an organization as far as being a quarterback. So big time.
Quarterbacks don't run an organization.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, run the team, be a leader, be the face of the organization. How about that? If he's top
15 of the organization,
not if Malik Ball's out top 10 this year, he's the face of the organization at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, you always give it to a quarterback, even when they bad. Didn't you learn? Never mind.
No.
all right.
Hold on. Because I did this. That was awesome, though.
These weren't jokes, but
I think that's what makes it more funny.
You ain't see that Falcons deep pass? Oh, they slow motion.
You the one that wobbled?
I'll say that they are deaf. The Falcons are definitely showing a lot of Tua highlights. I'm seeing Tua than Penix. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, the bar ain't that high, but anyway.
Hey, I saw somebody say he completed 12 of 15 passes
OTA Tua, baby.
Well, I bet you they excited, boy. Let him finish.
You know he's going to kill it in practice.
Yeah. And that's the point that I want to make when I'm sitting here watching Malik. It's going to be hard for me to compare him against Tua because Tua, that ball don't hit the floor. That ball don't hit the floor with Tua. Poupard, I don't tell a lie. Do not tell a lie. When we're practicing and Tua don't got to worry about being hit, that ball don't hit the floor.
Yeah, great practices. All right. my number three and number four come at the same position. It comes at the same position. I got Dante Trader Jr. and Lonnie Johnson. Okay. Both of those. Johnson. Huh?
Don't say Lonnie Johnson.
Oh, why not?
Just don't.
Okay. Well, Dante Trader Jr. I have him at the safety position, and I just hope another guy at safety can show up because I'm not as concerned about the corners. You invested. We'll see how Chris Johnson ends up. You've invested. But I'm just like you guys. Juju Brents, you keep him healthy. I think he can man the position. Hmm. And I think we may be – and that's serviceable at least on the boundaries. It's the two safety positions for me. Not so much the edge like you guys because I just feel like even if the edge falls short, which they could very well, the linebackers can clean up potentially.
No. Hell no. If you can't set the edge, you cannot rush the passer. You cannot stop the run.
Maybe the scheme will have the linebacker setting the edge.
What linebacker you know setting the edge?
You know, setting the edge, sometimes even if you get beat, can just be being in this place. Even if you get mauled, it's just forcing the running back to cut it back inside to the linebackers. Yeah. So, yes,
but but if you driven 6 yards off the ball, where if you look at a lot
now
of
that's different. Like, then that's different. Whoever getting driven 6 yards off the ball, they got to go. They can't be there. That's the difference. And I'm hoping that guys like Chapuche at least get driven 2 yards, but not six. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just think the safeties will be very important, but that's like you said earlier, Jeff Hafley, man, that's where he got to show his ability because that's his unit, even though he coaches the whole team.
If I were to say one unit that after watching the first OTA practice, I developed the most concern for, it would be the safeties. Cause Dante Trader and who?
Yeah, we got
Dante Trader and who?
Well, I'm trying to understand why I can't see another name, but that's all right.
What is the name?
Lonnie Johnson.
Oh, Lonnie Johnson. Sorry. But Omar, you need to point out that there was no like offensive line versus defensive line work. No, there were no running plays. So it's not like what we saw basically was 7-on-7. So from that standpoint.
Yeah, but safety should show themselves in 7-on-7s.
Sure. So should the cornerbacks in that.
They came down with three intercepts. I mean, well, not the cornerback, not just.
Well, actually, it was one of each. It was a safety, a cornerback, and a linebacker who got the.
Safety, ready, baby. A cornerback and a linebacker. You're correct. Yes. 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 So hopefully they can turn over. They can create turnovers. Let's hope.
Todd Monken, where are you? How do you throw three interceptions? That's embarrassing.
Before we get to the next topic, which I'm very interested to talk about, Devon Achane's contract, because I really like Devon Achane's contract. Oh, I removed the guys. We got to talk Prize Picks, baby. Prize Picks. TD's got his picks up. What do you got to talk about, bud?
Yeah, I wanted to show people because I'm going NBA this weekend and Prize Picks. And I did, I know I told y'all stick with the 3 and 4 picks, but I did a 6 pick because you have an opportunity to flex your picks. What does that mean? If I hit all 6, I win. Okay. If I hit 5 out of 6, I still win. And if I hit 4 out of 6, I still bring something back. And if you, as long as you flex it, you'll have almost, it's almost like insurance, but not quite. So, I got Alex Caruso. I got Dort, who's been playing really good. He's always over that 2.5, just so you know. The last five games, he scored an average of like five or whatever, maybe. I always say Shea, the MVP, 30 and a half. Don't expect that to slow down. And Wimby, man, we got to have another big game. You kind of slacked on the last one after the monster game. Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, they're the primary guys of their team. They're going after it. So this is what I got. Get in on the action. If I get them all right, a quick little $5 bet is going to win me 70. If I get one wrong, guess what? I still win more than I put in at 875. And if I get four out of six, then at least I don't lose my entire five. I get back two. So flex it out and have fun on Prize Picks. Don't forget, play $5, get $50 instantly in lineup. Use code HMA, but make sure you play responsibly. All right.
By the way, the 30 and a half for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, is that the number of times he falls down after taking his
You know what's crazy? You're right. I didn't know that until I saw the video. Every shot, he flops. It's crazy.
Wasn't there like don't they get penalized for flopping that much?
But you can't call his flopping because he does it every time. It's like, well, that's my shoot motion.
Who's the guy who bounced off of I don't know the names, but he made the three, and the OKC guy just like flopped, and then they called a penalty, and the three was taken off. I don't remember who it was. But the flopping was horrid.
I thought there was like a new rule against flopping in the NBA. Like
it is.
Find floppers.
It is, but the refs know him so well now that they don't call it as much. That's why he keep falling but getting up and running down the court.
But we're going to look at the reason we're staying in this screen is we're going to look at Devon Achane's contract, which it's a little different than what was initially reported
What a surprise!
There you go. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
4 years worth $68 million, 17 a year, 32 guaranteed. When it is not 32 guaranteed, it is 27, 378 total guaranteed. Also, super team friendly. They can move on from him after 2027. With no ramifications, like just it's a 1 year extension essentially.
After 2028.
No, this is 2020. This is 2020. This after the 2027 season, they can cut him with no dead cap.
26, 27, 28. Sorry, is
no. He's got 28. Get the 28. Look at the contract on the bottom. The notes. The contract in 2028 becomes guaranteed. The base salary, $3 million on. In March of
2027,
and the remaining $7 million in March of 2028. So
essentially, they can move on from him in 2027 after 2027.
They're looking at penalties
and save what? Because you said $3 million fully guaranteed March of 2027. So after that season, say you could still save $14 million if you move.
All you got to do is hit the X, Doug, on 2027, and you'll see the ramifications on 27. Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is after the 27 season, as of right now. But again, things.
You got to count how much money is going to become guaranteed of in the 2028 deal in 2027.
Which is not
moving off. $3 million. It's $3 million.
It's just $3 million. So you still save $14 million.
Plus the signing bonus and restructure prorations.
It's still extremely team friendly in my opinion.
No, without question, it's a great deal.
He's not even like top ranked. When we first looked at it and his rankings, he was like what, fourth ranked when it came to total guaranteed. Now he's like eighth ranked when it comes to total guarantees.
What did I tell y'all about these reported deals? Lying.
What did you tell us, Omar?
One, only count the guaranteed money. And two, media members do a very irresponsible job of double-checking the contracts after the reporting and then actually reporting it out, because most of the contracts are that get reported out are lies. Factually inaccurate.
Dude, but sometimes it's just that initial hype.
Which is how they get the story in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that wasn't correct from the initial reporting was $32 million guaranteed when it's in fact worth 27.5.
And some of it could be, you have to read the details. These are just the figures. I'll get somebody to get me the details of the contract, and then I'll properly assess it and evaluate.
They're right there.
Huh? No. You have to read the language of the contract, because.
Go ahead. Tell me what's missing from this.
I can't see it because I can't read that small. But you don't know if they're Pro Bowl escalators in the deal. You don't know.
It doesn't say it does. He's got like roster bonuses for $1 million each.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't know what they're for.
They're for their game roster bonuses.
They're on the roster. Okay.
They're right there.
Man, when y'all are 80, y'all need to show together.
He's close. He's very close.
Respect your elders.
Oh my God, makes me laugh. So yeah, it's very team friendly. Why are you surprised that Achane took this type of contract versus trying to become the number one guy?
No, he was never going to become the number one guy.
Or number four, Robinson. Five.
Let me explain why he was never going to become the number one guy in the NFL. I'm bringing out my notes.
Oh, you're bringing out your notes. Okay.
Yeah. You know how many yards Devon Achane has produced passing or receiving in his first 3 years of the NFL? 4,334 yards. Do you know how many yards Jahmyr Gibbs has produced in his first 3 years?
More than that.
5,029 yards. So who is going to get paid more? Okay.
Yeah, that's unfair.
Could the argument not be made, though, that Jahmyr Gibbs played on a better team than Devon Achane?
He also split the backfield all 3 years of his career.
Yeah, but Devon Achane averages more yards per carry than any of them. If he was utilized the same way, he would be up there with the yards if he had the same amount of carries.
Okay. No, I don't think it's the carries. Let's go to Bijan Robinson. You know how many yards Bijan Robinson has produced in his first 3 years of his NFL career?
More than Achane.
5,648 yards. That's more than 1,200 yards more than Devon Achane.
Yeah, but Devon Achane played half a season in one of those. 800 yards in like half of a season. Remember, didn't he get hurt?
My point is, when you're stacking them up and you're saying, okay, I got to wait for, like, Devon Achane was never going to be more paid than Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, this was his time. This is his time. He got his money. And consider the options for him. Play and make your $5.5 million this year and risk injury. Or go get your $27 million in guaranteed money now.
So this is the leverage we have on Brooks right now.
And Brewer.
Same leverage.
Correct. And by the way, here's the thing, though. Numbers aside, because, again, I hate it when we reduce everything in football to damn numbers, because it's the ultimate team games and what goes on around you affects you so much. But can we all agree that the eyeball test tells us of those three, Bijan Robinson clearly is the top back, and then we can make an argument between Achane and Gibbs for number two. Can we all agree on that?
Nope.
What are you saying?
I think Achane better than all three. All the other two.
I think
Achane. He ain't had the carries.
You think Achane's better than the other two?
I believe he produces more on a per basis. He produces more. He brings more offense. You just got to utilize him like you utilize those other guys.
He's small. You can't utilize him anymore.
I used to say that too until last year he showed me. Do you know that Achane has over 3,000 rushing yards and over 2,000 of them are after contact? 66% of his yards are after contact. That's unheard of. Yeah, Alan, I got this one on you. I know you're looking it up. I know this one as a fact. I know this one as a fact.
You cannot throw just blanket numbers at Pavard without him looking at them.
Don't worry. He's going to verify. Yards
after, rushing yards after contact, according to Pro Football Reference, is 1456. Total yards is 3057. So it's less than 50%.
No. That's not what I looked up.
Well, I'm
how many yards does HN have altogether?
3057.
And right. You saying that it's saying 1,500? I saw over 2,000 after contact. You might be talking
yards after contact, including receptions as well.
Mm, no, possibly. Because the rushing, well, they would have included the overall yardage with receptions too then.
I don't know.
I just
and again, you're reducing, everything to numbers. I mean, which is, I'm sorry, ridiculous when we're talking about football.
It's not ridiculous. Give him the same amount of carries. Do you see the carry discrepancy? Look at the carries of these guys. Rushing attempts.
And you're assuming that HN would maintain his yards per carry average?
Why not? It's your average. It's your average.
No,
large enough.
It depends on where you get the carries. If you're getting a carry on third and one, chances are you're not going to get a 7-yard run as easily as if it's first and 10 or second and 5. That makes a difference, and you're unwilling to look at that. It's not just, well, he's got 5.6 on 300 carries. It would be 5.6 on 450 carries, regardless of where they came. It doesn't work.
Yeah, but you also can't knock him for that. They didn't utilize him as much as they utilized Bijan and Gibbs. You get his more and more carries, it could go up, it could go down, but that's his average, Alex.
But you can't reward him for that. You can't make the assumption. And again, I've watched all three play. HN and Gibbs to me is a wash. They're both like electric, can make like that. I think Bijan's a little bit better all around running back than either one of those two. That's just me. And I don't give a crap what the numbers, breaking down every little statistical number, this ain't baseball or tennis where the numbers are basically what they are.
If HN got the same amount of carries as Gibbs and Robinson, do you think, like, say HN got 675 rushing attempts, do you think he would have that extra 523 rushing yards that Jamari Gibbs has?
Yeah, like, look, the averages tell you that. It would.
No, you're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing.
Oh, my God. What you want me to do, Alan, is say, okay, if HN rushed the ball more, let's bring his average per carry down. Why?
No, I'm saying you cannot just simply go more carries. Therefore, the exact same average remains.
What Alan's saying?
Well, I guess the point is he could have more. He could.
But what Alan's saying?
You don't know that because I could give him.
And his averages say that he'll have a lot. He'll surpass him.
Hold on. I'll say this because I could see where you're both coming from. TD is saying that that rushing yards per attempt at 5.6 is the best. You give him more. You expect that to continue. But what Alan is saying is you give him more attempts, there are more opportunities for him to get tackled for loss, for him to, all
those same opportunities were with the 5.6. Like, this is my point.
TD, hold on. I'll give HN 30 more carries. They're all on first and goal from the 2-yard line. Let's see how that works for his rushing.
Yeah, I understand that. This is why you have to go off the averages, because in the flow of a game, they're all not going to be at the 2-yard line. It's just the flow of the game. Giving them more carries. All we know is HN averages more yards every time he touches it than these guys. That is a fact. He averages more than them every time he touches the football. That's a fact. That's all I'm saying. HN averages more.
All I am saying is, again, get me a data expert who's going to break down every single solitary carry and see how often, for example, each one carries the ball on third and short, where you're not going to get the 7-yard run, like I said, or first and goal. Or you can shake your head all you want, but
no, Alan, with all due respect, this is actually my field. Okay, I am a statistician, mister. Okay, I am telling you from a stat standpoint, you can get somebody who does this every day. They are going to compute him no matter what at the same average, because they already the 5.6.
You can't predict that every single other carry is going to be the same as
they're going to use the statistics of what he already did in the 5.6. How many times were already at the goal line? How many times were at the 50? How many times were third and 8? They're already going to factor that in because it's already in the 5.6. That is his average. So any statistician, they're going to ask you, what is his average? And if you increase those carries, then they can only use his average.
That's the only thing they'll ever do is use his average to compute out what it would have been. Nobody's going to do it any other way. Touchdowns, too.
I enjoyed this conversation.
Hold on.
Anyway,
I took a stats class in college too, and you if you are, Lord, I'm losing my mind here. If somebody has way more carries inside the 3 yard line, that's going to negatively impact his average. So all average is not the same.
Alan, hold on, Alan. I got a better way to explain it for you.
You don't need to help me out, okay? Because you're not getting my point.
I'm
using technology, so we probably should move on. Okay, because right now it's at a dead end.
Doug,
he's a better one.
Anywho, we like the HN contract. The Dolphins did actually really well with the HN contract. I like that they made a point to not reset the market, especially with Achan, and it seems like that is what they are trying to do.
They were never going to reset the market.
Because but past regimes might have been like, let's give him,
I thought they were.
It seems like that's also what they're trying to do with Brooks and Brewer, whereas they want to give them.
They want to handsomely compensate them for their great seasons. And I had this conversation
with somebody
earlier today. Why am I paying you off your best year? What is my motivation to paying you off your best year? Why wouldn't I pay you off two?
Like I said, there was a past regime that did that.
No, don't do that, because they didn't pay guys off their best year. They took care of Tua. But Tua had put together two straight good years. 2022, don't discount it.
But it wasn't his best year.
What did you want to base it on, though, Omar, if it's not their best year?
I mean, Tua had put together two straight good years. Jordan Brooks, can we have this conversation? Were we having this conversation about Jordan Brooks being a top linebacker in the NFL in 2024?
No, that. Correct. That's fair, but
it's contract. Were we having this conversation about A'Ron Brewer?
Mm-mm. Contract years coming up now is what the problem is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Achan didn't even rush for 1,000 yards in 2024. Not to say that there weren't factors contributing to it, like a crappy offensive line and no quarterback.
He was in your offense in 2024.
What'd you say?
Like he was in the offense in 2024.
Tyreek was around and.
Tyreek was hurt the whole year. You and I both know that. It wasn't the same Tyreek, and the offense became very Achan centric.
But Achan wasn't good in 2024. Achan was not good. He didn't even rush for 1,000 yards.
What
back is good that doesn't rush for 1,000 yards?
Yeah. Was he sharing the backfield?
No.
With Mostert was gone.
Mostert was in McDaniel's doghouse.
Yes, he was. And he had a rib injury in the first.
He had a rib injury in the first couple of games, and then he fumbled the ball in two games that cost him losses, and then pouted the rest of the way and feuded with Mike. So, and then had to be banished.
He had 1,500 total yards. He led the team in receptions. So he didn't have 1,000 yards. He had 907.
I'm just going to say, put this on record. I don't like any offense where the back is the leading receiver. I think the offense sucked the last 2 years because Devon Achane's the leading receiver the last 2 years. Just me.
But it's all we had.
I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Sorry, TD. I'll take that back. Jonnu Smith had the most receptions in 2024. But go ahead, TD.
Is Jonnu and Waller still available right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
I could put together, and I think I'm going to do this. I could put together a unemployed team that's better than the Dolphins team right now.
Oh, my.
I can't.
Who's your quarterback?
That's my only challenge. But I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to beat Malik Willis. No, no fans.
Wow. Did he cover your ears?
He started six games.
Damn.
Oh, like, my gosh.
You telling me I can't get Tom Brady to come out of retirement?
Oh, you're talking about coming out of retirement. We all can create a team that's better than every team in the NFL right now.
Okay, unemployed. Give your man
crush is out there.
Three agents.
Who? Your man crush, the quarterback, Joshua Dobbs.
Joshua Dobbs is unemployed?
Joshua Dobbs is unemployed.
What? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Somebody else got to be unemployed.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm done.
Nobody unemployed at the quarterback position is better than Malik Willis. I mean, 20 of them, that's 30 of them that's employed ain't better.
Jimmy Garoppolo's unemployed?
Mm-hmm.
Pondering retirement, apparently.
Pondering retirement. He don't have porn stars he can still lure?
Anyway, let's get to the next topic. Christmas. Real quick, though, there was roster moves yesterday with the signing of tackle Marquise Cox, running back Carlos Washington Jr., and they waived Jalen Connors. I thought he was doing well. Why did they waive him?
We only watched one practice. He did well that one.
Touche.
He fought a ball in the middle, too, that was an easy catch. And, again, I said this on my own podcast. It's May. With all the respect in the world, it's May. You're dealing with four players who have combined for two regular season games in the past 3 years.
But you're cutting them for training camp bodies?
You're cutting them because you've decided there's nothing there with Conyers or with Braden Daniels. Let's see if Carlos Washington Jr. and Marcus Cox have anything to offer to show. You're looking for
hidden. I also need to know if their injuries factored into that or
they were not waived with an injury designation.
I know. But
and usually then don't show up. In the transactions, don't show up if it's an injury.
I just saw that, and I saw way more dead weight on this roster than those two players. But hey, props. Do what you're gonna do as long as you produce talent, as long as you develop talent. It is what it is. Like I should tear for Derek McClendon. Like, you know, don't.
Somebody tried to tell you, like, simmer down a little bit. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, there's something there, but simmer down a little bit.
Listen. If they don't want to take it into camp and they want to go and they want to say Josh Uche and Chop Robinson and Cameron Good and, you know, okay, cool. But, you know.
All right, let's get to these donations. We got about 8 minutes left of the show. Fins of the Empire. Shout out to you for
Salute.
Being a member, my man. Garpgump says half let it slip that he's going to try Biggers at D end.
He didn't let it slip. I asked him about Kenneth Grant possibly lining up at defensive end. He said, yeah, we may toy with that as well as Biggers. He didn't let it slip. He was asked specifically about Kenneth
Grant. I think that we're at the point where we are going to have defensive ends playing edge.
I think tackles.
Which, if you line up with four defensive end. So we're getting into semantics here.
Sanch said TD's motto is gaslight till you're right.
Thank you.
I don't gaslight. I keep my tank full.
Bert says, I hope Chris Johnson becomes the next Quinnon Mitchell. Also, his jersey number is 1 in the NFL shop. Maybe it's an error or he's changing his number. It's a possibility.
Three the other day.
Smarty James with the tenor says, do you remember the countdown they had for Tua last year during training camp for going consecutive practices without throwing interception? How did that work out for him during the regular season?
Omar, that's a question.
Omar, yeah. It was for you.
His arm died.
Thomas Malley becoming a member. We appreciate you, bud. Yaze says H-Han Gibbs are the same size.
Gibbs also has a fifth year both of them. Bijan has a fifth year option as well. So those are, and I believe Gibbs and Bijan are both Pro Bowlers, so that triggers like a higher fifth year option.
So there's no rush really to get
them. There's no rush for them to get those deals done. But you know, the numbers tell you Achan's the third in that crop. You know, Achan, we kind of knew the bar was going to be the kid that signed with New Orleans and Breece Hall. It was going to be just get right over, right over that. And, you know, that's a fair, respectable deal.
Yeah. Thomas also says a huge NASCAR fan, ripped to Kyle Busch. I hated him as a kid. And then up until a couple years ago, absolute icon and true great villain for two decades, RIP. Yeah, the last time they heard about him, he like left early because he was having like chest pains or something. And
the one I saw is it may have been his last race. He's in the middle of racing and he's calling out to his team, have the doctor ready for me when
he was having like something wrong
with the race. With the race, yeah, I'm not feeling well.
That's crazy. Yeah, RIP. CP said, "What up, TD? You're right. Achan is better.
Well, that's
offensive player of the year this year."
JJ said, "Can you guys disclose who's the starters were at OTA?" No, they cannot. I don't know what the tenor said. Achan, 5.7 average yards per carry, 4.1 after contact. Gibbs, 5.3 yards per carry, 3 after contact. And Bijan Robinson, 4.9 average yards per carry, 3.8 after contact. Achan wins the chicken dinner.
I think that makes TD's argument.
I'll take Bijan Robinson. Thank you.
They all agree.
When I watched Bijan Robinson practice the last 2 years, I think that 2 years we joined with the Falcons, I wasn't really impressed. And when he played the Dolphins, I wasn't really impressed.
Didn't we beat them?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. In Atlanta.
Great game.
Garp Gump said, "Not Willis or Achan, TD, the face of the franchise."
Well, the mascot.
Lord help us.
And then Aaron says, "Question: what's with some fan base obsessed with watching Falcons OTA highlights on the former quarterback? Some people just can't let things go. They just can't let things go."
I'm not commenting anymore. I'm staying out of it.
He was the first.
Watch every snap.
6 years.
I do watch every snap. I guess. But that's out of curiosity because I want to see if his arm came back.
But you know for a fact, right? You know for a fact if he it's like Alan was just saying, he was the face of the franchise. But you know for a fact if he flops hard, say he does become the starter with Atlanta, Michael Penix goes down or whatever reason, and he flops hard, like he throws like in like 8 games, he throws like 5 touchdowns and like 12 interceptions. Ah, we knew it. But then on the flip, if he comes in and he's a starter and he wins a playoff game with the Falcons, you have the other side being like, "We told you." It's just at the end of the day, he doesn't wear the jersey anymore, so I don't care.
I'm curious. I don't care, but I'm curious. I just want to know if he's going to get his arm back.
We'll see.
If, how are you saying if? Like, oh, let it go.
Just let it go. Arm.
Anyway, we're out of here.
By the way, hold on. I just want to make a point. It's the same thing with Ryan Tannehill. When he went to Tennessee, were we not all curious to see how he did?
Yes. Yes.
That was the starter here for 5.5 years. It's not like he's gone. Let's forget about him. Never look at him again. I mean, seriously.
And guess what? Ryan Tannehill actually balled out in the regular season, but was still Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs.
Hey, he led teams to AFC two teams to AFC championship. Okay, Ryan Tannehill was the quarterback of record that took two teams to the AFC championship.
Three playoff games with less than 100 yards passing.
Ryan Tannehill was a quarterback of record that started games that the Tennessee Titans were in the AFC championship game. And y'all know I don't like Ryan Tannehill.
There you go.
Okay. Slippin' Jimmy said, "Tua thank you, never had Jimmy. An arm." Man, stop. He had a league average arm. He had an average arm.
He had an he average arm. Had... And then when we saw at the end of the season, it was average, not an average arm. Average.
His arm was always below average. And this is coming from somebody who always said, stop it about this.
I'm trying to end the show, and we're going off on the
Alan, let's just give him average.
I want to make this point, Doug. Let me speak for a second. I'll make it brief. And this is coming from somebody who always said that this notion that he can't throw the deep ball was stupid. But can be true, along with the fact that his arm, by NFL standards, always was below average. Okay.
I'm not going to fight you on that.
I'm leaving.
you guys just say, I'm leaving. I'm done with this episode. Hope everyone has a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. If you have the time and you're sitting on the beach or by your pool and you're like, you know what? I want something to read. Why not go to the Miami Herald or Miami Dolphins on SI and read some fantastic articles from Omar Kelly and Alan Poupart? It's great reading for this Memorial Day weekend. And if you're like, you know what? I have something I want to watch. What can I watch? Go to youtube.com/TDFinstalk or my channel, youtube.com/WDoWrong, and watch some stuff. But overall, have a fantastic weekend. It's going to be raining here in Jersey, so I probably will be doing nothing, but hopefully down in Florida for you guys. You have a great weekend. Will we see them on Monday? Are we taking Memorial Day off? That is a question.
I guess we'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out. We always let you guys know. But we will see you in the next one. We out, Cub Scout.
Peace.